know. I don't think it really like sunk in probably until like a few days later, because I think I was just like, you know, I mean, yeah, I was definitely like talking to my teammates like the whole buildup, going like, God, I just don't know what to expect, you know, like I don't know, like maybe I'll suck at it, like you know, like I probably won't, but maybe I will. I don't know, like maybe, you know, I really wanted to be good at it and I wanted to like it. And so yeah, I think it was like a mixture of like really intense like joy and also like intense relief that like I didn't suck, honestly. You know, I mean, in AZ, it's like we're known for producing good marathoners. I was like, I just want to run with my friends. So yeah, like it was a really cool experience. Like, I mean, like I said, like I don't have any real critiques. Like, I don't think I could have asked for anything cooler in my first marathon. So.
Hello, podcast world. Welcome to episode 116 of Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. Meet Lauren Hagans, the 2024 Grandma's Marathon champion, who made a sensational marathon debut, scorching a 2:25:55, running the fourth fastest U.S. debut of all time. Though Lauren has coached many marathoners and is surrounded by strong NAZ Elite rockstar marathoning teammates who shared helpful nuggets, this was truly uncharted territory. You never get to a starting line by yourself. Little pieces of magic were shared with me at moments of doubt along the way to my first marathon. They helped me develop trust. We discussed her build, mentors and coaches who've had an impact, her most meaningful races, her best executed races, what it was like to cross the finish line and be able to share the joy with her coach, Jenna, her stay in the fight moment, and what's next for her. Lauren has competed in 3 Olympic trials on the track and is stoked to compete in the marathon trials come February. She's hoping to rock a fast half at Valencia before then. Look forward to following more of her inspiring journey. Let's dive in and take a listen. Lauren Hagans, welcome to Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. How you doing this evening?
Doing really well, actually.
All right.
Thank you for having me on here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How are things out in Flag? How's everything going out there?
It's good. I just got back to Flagstaff about a week and a half ago after taking a little break, spending some downtime at home with my family after Grandma's marathon. And I got back and it's actually like, it's so hot here right now, which I know we're not the only place, but man, it like, I'm like, we're not supposed to be like Phoenix, like, but it's nowhere. Phoenix is like high 115 right now, but we're supposed to be hitting like 95, 96 towards the end of the week, which is, it's pretty hot for here. So, and we don't, and a lot of the houses in Flagstaff don't have air conditioning. So it's like windows open, you know, I mean, it's 9 o'clock in the morning and it's already been 80 degrees. So, yeah, it's been interesting, but you know, I shouldn't complain. It'll be cold here soon.
Yeah, it will. The weather's normally so moderate there in the summer. It's one of the reasons so many great training groups are anchored there and doing their work. But hey, man, before we even get rolling, debut marathon at Grandma's, victory, breaking the tape. It's pretty hard to top, man. We were talking before he came on the air. That's the ultimate trump card at a party anywhere. Like, hey, you know, when you talk about somebody's debut marathon, oh, I bombed, I bonged, I didn't finish, this happened. No, I won Grandma's marathon. I kicked ass. I ran a great time. So pretty amazing stuff. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. You got to be feeling pretty awesome about that, right?
I really am, actually. Like, you know how usually runners, like, we're so hard on ourselves and you even have a race where you PR or whatever and you kind of go like, oh, that was good, but I could have done this and this and this. And like, and that's totally me and most people. But like this one, I really just was like so happy. Like, I was just in relief that it went so well. But yeah, I was just like, I have no notes. Like, I don't, it's just like very rare. And I dissected it with Alan Culpepper, our previous coach, and Jenna, our assistant coach, who was there with me and Grandma's. And yeah, we would more were just like, let's just enjoy it, you know, just for just what it was, which was just a really good race. So yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome. and refreshing, I might add, because you are correct. Not only pro runners do that, amateur athletes do it. People who want to make Boston or anybody out there, period. It's always like, I think I could have done that different, or maybe if I'd have used a little more fuel, or it's refreshing and power to you. If you can't have that mindset, you have to. I mean, my God, it's literally, you can only have one debut, right? We can only have one. And it'd be one thing if you jumped in a race and it wasn't competitive and you ran away with it and it just was, let's say, a blowout. I mean, you know, Dakota's been on my show. She's won it twice. She has a great history there. She's a fierce competitor. And, you know, you ran her down, you know, and you had a great race. So it's not like you were out in front and you had some big lead. I mean, you had to really work for that race. I mean, it was a serious effort.
Yeah. And, you know, it really, I guess I should say, like, when I'm learning, which I actually like, I actually own a coaching business and I've coached a lot of marathoners. So it's not like I don't know anything about it, but I will say it's different when it's you experiencing it. And I don't think people, you know, which I'm glad I've done one now. So I know what I'm talking about now. I'm just kidding. But like, you know, it's just like, yeah, like no one can really prepare you for just kind of how it feels and or the decision-making process when you're in a competitive race or a competitive marathon. And yeah, it's like, I just kind of feel like, I mean, obviously, like definitely Dakota was absolutely the favorite and she ran amazing as well. And it wasn't like, you know, I think it just ended up being my day. And I think that's what I'm learning about the marathon is like, you can do so much preparation, but there's a lot that can happen. And so, yeah, like it wasn't really my goal to win or like beat Dakota or anything. It was more just like, yeah, like it just ended up happening. And like, she's a fantastic athlete and she's run so much faster than I have on that course too. And so, you know, but yeah, it was cool. I also felt a little guilty, I guess, because like she's the hometown, you know, the hometown sweetheart. And I was like, someone sent me a video of the last mile of the race on Facebook. And I just like come around this curve and it's like a 15 second long video. And there were people in the background going, "Oh, go Dakota. Oh, that's not Dakota. Oh no." And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." So like, it's just like kind of funny, but no, like she was so gracious afterwards too. And like, gave me a high five and we were at the awards together and like, it was cool. So yeah, I'm excited to see her at more races too. She's really good.
Yeah. That's so well said. And what a great experience. And yeah, there are courses where an athlete really connects in the community and she's really connected there and she has family there and they're out there on the course and it's wonderful. And she's just a runner who engages the crowd, you know, gets people into it and has a very just super positive energy, not only on racing and training, but in real life and coming on the show. She was a great guest. I really enjoyed hanging out and chatting with her. But yeah, I mean, it's so funny that you're talking about the guilt because your teammate who won the steeple, you know, she talked about that with Emma.
Oh, right.
She talked about it with Emma.
No, I get it.
And I swear, when I was watching it, I almost felt like I could feel that. I couldn't, of course, because I wasn't running it. But you just see her like, man, she went into turbo mode, man, after the water jump. And you just wonder if maybe she had it even a little sooner, but maybe just kind of held it, you know, out of some sort of place of honor to Emma or something, but who knows? I mean, it's tricky, you know, for people that we really look up to or people that are experienced. And I'm sure people had similar feelings with Kipchoge in Boston. No one's ever expecting to see him, you know, not at the front of a race. And for him to be where he was is unusual.
Yeah. And I think those of us who have kind of been around the sport for a long time and kind of know what it takes and like the daily in and outs of training and not training too, like the stuff outside of training, you just, you know, it's like, it's not like everyone works so hard and like everyone deserves to have their day, you know, like everyone deserves to win usually. So it's just like, you know, like you're happy for people, but then you're like, oh, but all the rest of the, you know, the other 11 people in the steeplechase final or whatever it was, you know, it's like, yeah, everyone just, yeah, it's tough. There can only be one winner, but everyone deserves it.
Hell yeah. You all work so hard, as you said. You train your asses off. And it's a good talking point too, because Nazalite, I think, has done the best job as far as like a pro group. I think they've been the model group, I think, that people follow, because you can really see, what's going on. You get real insights to how everyone's training. You know, even though I've never run a step on Lake Mary Road, I feel like I know Lake Mary Road.
I feel like you've been there.
I do. And I'm not the only one who feels that way. Anybody else who follows you guys on Twitter or an Insta or any of the channels that exist out there, you get that sense. You know, you see the camaraderie of your teammates, doing the work. And, for this being your first marathon, I'm sure you were still grinding a lot of miles before this. I doubt this was like some massive ramp up, was it? I mean, was it a big transitional change or really not that much in terms of how you attack training?
I mean, I guess so I would be considered, as far as like mileage and training goes and leading up to grandma's, I would be considered low mileage for a marathoner. Actually, let me pull this out real quick, because I had I ran the 800 in college. I've slowly progressed every few years to trying new events. I've gone up and up and up as I've gotten older, and ran my first half marathon a couple years ago. That went great. So it does feel like a natural progression. But when I've been training, and I also ran the half marathon championships in February with my my teammate Alephine Tuliamek, and I went 1-2 with that, and both ran sub 70 on a pretty hard course. And so that training was more obviously like half marathon specific, but I don't think I got above like 75 miles. And it wasn't like every week was 75 miles. It was probably like I had some at 60, one at 75, one it's, just kind of waffled back and forth. And then for the marathon for grandma's, I really didn't go up that much more. Like I actually did kind of a shorter build, like a specific marathon training. So I did an 8-week build. It was supposed to be 9, but the first week I was like sick with something, and I just was like, I'm not going to start my build digging myself into a hole. So I just ran easy and was like, we'll get there. So like the 8 weeks, I put this on I saved it to that, like you can pin stuff on Instagram. I'm like notoriously bad for, I'm really bad at technology. So I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I only got to 85 twice for the entire 8-week segment. So I went like 75, 85, 75, 75, 85. And then I had a little injury blip. So I had 50 3 weeks out. And then my 2 weeks before the marathon were both at 60. So I didn't really like say, oh, just because I'm running a marathon, like I have to run 100 mile weeks. And I think that is something that people have ingrained in their minds. And I just don't believe that it's true. I thought for me, and like, I brought this to Alan actually before we started, like before, like my actual segment, because I was like, look, I think it's a mistake for me who I have been injury prone in the past and I have a chronic sciatica disorder. I just said, I think it's a mistake for me to just run 100 miles just because I'm running the marathon. Like, I think this needs to be smart. I think that my workouts need to be quality and long enough to where I feel that kind of concentration and focus that you need for running that long. And my long runs need to get higher. So I did do like an 18, a 20, a 22, and a 24 mile long run. But it wasn't like, I was doubling maybe once or twice a week. And I just kind of did what I thought was best for me. And I think that's pretty hard to do, honestly, in living in a place like Flagstaff, because, we've got lots of really experienced, great marathoners that live here, some on my team, some not, and everyone kind of has their way of doing it. But I think the trick is to not just do something because like, Kellen Taylor's done it this way in the past or whoever. And so that's kind of, maybe that comes with age, but it's just like knowing yourself and knowing what you're capable of and just, kind of doing things how you think is best for you, not what everyone else thinks. And so that can be hard being here when everyone has their 2 cents. But luckily, Alan and I were on the same page. And I had tons of people honestly say like, You're only running 75 miles. You need to run. I'm like, no, I don't. I mean, I'm sure that like, because I've only run one marathon, I've only done one segment. I'm sure that we'll do a little bit of tweaking and like, maybe I'll go up in the future or something like a little bit, but it just won't be like, you know, I'd only been doing like 75 mile weeks. Like it won't be just a jump even now up to 100 miles from a couple of 85s, if that makes sense. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. It's kind of a lot, but
it was absolutely awesome. I love the depth and the insight, because it's so easy, as you said, you're in that place where there's just so many, not just elite teams, but elite athletes, and even ones that are passing through. You know, they're just headed to flag between seasons. You get runners from the UK, from France, from other parts of the world are coming over, and they're going to do an endurance cycle or a speed cycle, or maybe they're just doing recovery runs and they want to hit the trail roads, you know, the access roads, and be on the soft surfaces. So kudos, and thanks for sharing the level of detail, because more isn't better. And grinding yourself into the ground isn't better. It can be. Some of us, and you're a coach, so you know this, some of us are definitely strength runners, and we need the mileage almost as much mentally, right? Sometimes we need it as much mentally as we do physically. Like if we're not hitting certain milestones, and again, we're the worst, right? We have to have these damn round numbers, like 100.
Yeah. Oh my God, this, I know. It bothers people so much. And I'm like, I ran 79.99 miles this week. But yeah, and I'm also not dogging on like someone doing 100 miles a week. I'm just, and that's fine. That works for like lots of people, and more power to you. I'm just saying it's not a one size fits all cookie cutter approach for everybody.
Exactly.
So who knows? Maybe when I get more experience and I run 90-95 miles, maybe I'll run a faster marathon, but I'm not sure, you know? And I just was like, well, it's better for me to take it step by step and not just do this just because that's what everyone does. So
wonderful job by you. If you had pushed out and got over your skis, you might have gotten injured. You started off sick in the first week anyway. And even that's a lot of discipline and self-control. So all the runners listening, pay attention, pay attention to Lauren and follow what she's doing, because I'm really great at giving advice to everyone else. For myself, it's like, oh, I'll be okay as I'm going out the door with a 102.7 fever and hacking cough, you know, but anyone else would be like, Lauren, you're worn down. Take a day. It's okay. But for me, I'd be like, all right, just, you know, get out the door, man. Come on, you can do it. Good for you. Who are some of your teammates? Obviously, you all mix and match different workouts, training, and whatnot. Who are some of your most consistent partners, people you work with during the cycle that helped you out to get ready?
So it actually ended up being kind of a surprise. Like, it was so interesting because this particular segment, I was so worried at first that no one was going to be able to overlap with me, just because like, we have so many good marathoners and not even the marathoners, but like the more track oriented athletes. And I was like really sad at the beginning because I was just different people like Kellen just had a baby. I was just getting over some injury. Alephine did Boston, so she was kind of taking time off. Steph is pretty far along in her pregnancy, so she hasn't been able to do workouts with me. And then Paige Stoner is also pregnant. And Alice had taken a break. Julia Griffey left her team. And so I was like, oh my God, you mean I'm on NAZ Elite, who like we are known for being really good marathoners. And it's my first segment and I'm going to have no one to train with. And I was like really sad about that, because I just hear so many stories about, you know, like, and seen like Kellen and Alphine and Steph have kind of been the stalwarts on our team of marathon training. And they've had each other to rely on through many of their marathons. And I'm like, no, that, you know, and I've worked really well with them in the past, but it actually ended up being a really pleasant surprise because, I have ended up being able to overlap. Like I haven't been able to do like an entire segment with somebody yet, but you know, like Kellen has actually been the one that's been able to do the majority of work with me, and it hasn't been every workout, but like she's been healthy enough and like have been feeling good enough to where I've probably done the most like amount of training with her. And then it's been just different people being like hopping in here and there. So like, even though Steph just hit 29 weeks of pregnancy, so she's like decently far along and she's really showing. And so like, but she would hop in when she could, like, even if it was just for like an 800 meter of, you know, hopping in and out of like a 12 mile steady state or something. Like every little bit helps. And when I see a lot of my teammates, like in my workouts or they're with me, like I feel more calm and confident because I know that they've been there before. So yeah, it's mostly been Kellen. Paige had, I'd overlapped with a lot. She, you know, with when you're pregnant, you can't always control how your body feels. And so, you know, it would just be kind of what she could handle at a given day. And then I've only gotten to overlap with Alizane for like one workout when she was here, just getting back into shape. And that's been it. I think I did one with Alice. I mean, it's kind of just been like bits and pieces, but then I've had like different teammates also do some crewing for me. So it mostly was Tyler Day, who was on his way back from another Achilles surgery. And so he like biked my 24 mile long run with me, gave me fluids every 5K. Like he's been really instrumental in just like trying to keep me calm and having someone there with me to give me fluids when like maybe the coaches have been out of town or something. So I really, and then Ben Bruce has paced me a lot. And Kibram Elias, who works with our team kind of unofficially sometimes, he paced me through most of my long steady states. So it's kind of just been this like really big group effort, and it was kind of fun. I was like, who's going to be there today? You know? So it's been interesting for sure.
Hey, you pieced it together. By no means is that ideal, because we've seen so many instances of all them working so closely together with a cycle that lines up. And I, you got every reason to be jelly, girl.
I literally like love them and look up to them. So yeah. I was just like, someone gets to be with me, but then
So I have to ask, I'm pretty sure I saw a tweet, I think it was from Alifine, about you saying you were going to win or something along those lines before grandma's, or I think you're going to win, or you're going to come through, you're going to win. Or maybe it was after, maybe it was a congratulatory one, but I thought it was beforehand, but I could have my sequence wrong. But
I don't know.
No. I'll have to.
I mean, people said, some of my teammates told me they thought I could win.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's the marathon, and like, you know, Dakota was in it, like Carrie Burden was in it, like Gabby Rooker, like, you know, it's not a guarantee. I think they were just saying, like, if that was before, that like I definitely had a good chance of winning because they saw my workouts.
Yeah. So just being supportive overall, which is good. And what about on the post side when you came home? Were they like stoked for you? They throw a little party for you? I mean, what went down on the other end?
I mean, everyone like sent me a bunch of like really sweet text messages. But you know, it's also like we're a team of like adults with children and like there's like things going on. So like people just aren't ever usually in Flagstaff all at the same time. So there was like no party, but that's fine. Like, I don't really need that. But yeah, like I definitely felt like super supported and loved by everybody. And, you know, we have a group chat, which is fun. And but I mean, you know, when I got like after grandma's, like I actually stayed in Minneapolis and up on this like lake in Minnesota for like 5 days after the race. So I actually didn't come back to Flagstaff right away. I stayed and just like recovered up there with friends. And then I like to take my time to kind of get away during the year. So I rented that cabin totally by myself. Just because I'm someone that I'm more introverted. I need to unplug and, just kind of do some thinking on my own and just not have anyone to really answer to. And so, so that's what I did. And then when I got back, I flew back from Minneapolis to Phoenix, I actually made a road trip all the way back home. So I didn't get back to Flagstaff at all until like last weekend. So yeah, I was gone for a couple of weeks.
Nice. Nice. A chance to totally recharge and just hang by yourself.
You know, the coaches kind of like to give us like a bunch of time to like not have to come to practice if we don't want to either. And so like when I got back, it wasn't like every day I was at practice. I think like the time that I saw the most people on my team was Chrissy Gear's watch party for a steeplechase, which was like 3 days ago. So I just been kind of like, you know, living life and just kind of like hanging out with different people and yeah.
Yeah. Well, you said that so well too. Everybody's at different life cycles and babies come on the way, babies that are already born and Ben and Steph and Kellen, and you guys are like an amazing, amazing tribe of people, and growing. So you got future NAS Elite generations, you know, coming, getting ready to build for the future. So, tell us about the actual race. I mean, come on, man, you won. We know you won. We know about that, but I mean, talk us through it, man. What was it like, you know, lining up day of the race, you know, as it progressed, you know, give us some background on it. Tell us what it was like, what it was all about.
You know what? It was really interesting. And, actually like the week or so before the race, I was actually like pretty kind of in my head and kind of just like, I just had things going on and I was just not in the best mind space. And then I'd been like nursing this like foot calf injury I've had for the 3 weeks before the marathon. So I was just trying to like hold everything together, you know? And then, it was interesting because like the morning of the race, I woke up and like, I had my, this is gross, but I had my customary like 400 calories of white rice and like a shot of peanut butter in my, like, that's what I have for breakfast. And I was kind of just going through the motions of like getting ready for a race. But I actually like woke up feeling just like very, very calm and peaceful that day. Even though I was, you know, I knew in the back of my head, like I'm supposed to be just completing this kind of what feels like a momentous, you know, milestone in my career, your debut marathon. It's a lot of uncertainty. You don't know what might happen. But yeah, like, I just feel like I just thought to myself, like, you know what, like, I know you're nervous, but you've been running your whole life. You've been competing your whole life. Don't make this something that it's not. Like, don't overcomplicate this. Just try to go out. It's your first one. There's not that much pressure. Just go out and just like experience what the marathon's all about and see what everyone has been talking about on your team for years, you know, and just go out there. Like, you know, you've executed things in practice very well. You've gotten your bottles down pretty great in practice. That took a while. So just go out and enjoy, like, just go like eat the dinner you prepared for yourself, you know? And, so basically like, yeah, I just feel like I got to the start line. I was just light, conversation with Dakota and Carrie. And, then I just remember feeling like I had no nerves at all. And I was just standing there in the start line. And I remember I did watch the start of the race and I looked completely awkward. But like, I was thinking, like, I just also can be an overthinker. So if I'm not thinking that much, that's good for me. And so I was just like, when is this gun going to go off? And I knew that Dakota was going to, she had announced, she'd made it clear on social media that she was going after the course record, which is Kellen's, and it's 2:24:28. And I don't think that was necessarily out of my wheelhouse on the day even, but it's more just like, I just wasn't even really necessarily going for like a specific time. I was more just going to run an effort that I felt like was honest, but also comfortable for my first marathon. And so I just decided before the race, like, whatever Dakota does, I'm just not going to like go with her if she goes out hard, which she did. And you know, I'm just going to run my own race. And so I just got into the race and just kind of was going for more of a feeling than a pace, so more of an effort. And that just happened to be right around, you know, 5:30 to 5:37, something like that, like give or take, like depending on the mile. And I had a group of a few different people, a few other athletes like Carrie, Gabby, and Grace Kahura. And, I'm sorry if I'm missing somebody, but yeah, like a group of other female athletes to run with, but it wasn't even like I just was like literally doing my own thing. Like I was just running my own race and I was trying not to think about what, if they're trying to push it or not, or who's where. I was more just focused on like executing what I needed to do on that day and get to each water station and try to get my bottle, which I missed two of them. but the key to that is not to panic. if I missed numbers, there were 8 water stations. Most marathons are like that apparently. And, I missed numbers, 4 and 5. So, but the stations that I missed, I just made sure to grab Powerade or water or whatever they have. And if there was anything to grab, drink, I grabbed it. Even though I did miss 2 of my Genucan carb solution bottles. I couldn't see which one was mine because they were just like literally just piled onto this table. Like I was like, I can't tell which one is mine. So anyway, but I missed two of them. And I think like it might've been maybe around, so I had the group of women to work with and it might've been maybe around like mile 16 where I feel like I've gotten pretty good at water handoffs, like not letting it interrupt my stride. I've been carrying the water bottle for about 400 to 800 meters each time, just taking my time sipping it just so you don't, you know, just guzzle it all down and mess up your stomach. And I had zero stomach problems the entire race because of that, I think, which is actually advice I got from Kellen and Kebram, who was who paced me a lot during my training. And yeah, like I noticed at one of the whatever around mile 16, whichever water station that was, I noticed like I had a pretty fluent or pretty, pretty fluid like water grab. And I noticed the other girls kind of, I don't know what happened, but they were kind of like a little bit behind me. And then all of a sudden they were like far back. And so I don't know if like it was they messed up their water. I don't know what happened, but I just kept running my own pace, but Dakota was never like, we could see her the entire race. And it wasn't like, I mean, we weren't even talking to each other. It wasn't even like, we were like, let's get Dakota. It was just, I don't know. It was like kind of interesting. And like, I didn't know what to expect because every other race I've been in half marathon down, like you're not talking to each other because you're running too fast. You know? But I didn't know. I was like, this is going to be. And anyway, so like, I think I could see her. I could see that she was kind of just not necessarily making any ground on me. And I don't think I was making like, I was actually just holding pretty steady with her until I think it was like mile 20. I think she dropped, she kind of started to fall back in pace where I just held steady. So like I did watch some of the replay and one of the announcers said like that I put in this big surge, but that actually, if you look at my splits on my Strava, it's not the case. Like I think Dakota started to kind of hurt a little bit and she dropped 5:40 and then I dropped to 5:30. But my 5:30, I had been running like anywhere from 5:30 to 5:35 at that point. So it wasn't like I put in this huge surge. It just was like I caught up because I think she started to slow down. And then I caught up to her at mile 21. And I remember because I have this like track background. And so like I remember thinking like, oh, like, you know, they say in track races, when you make a move, you make a move. Like, you don't let someone just like latch back onto you. So I was like, ooh, I'm right behind her now. Like I literally was like, literally she was here and I was right here. And I was going, I don't know if she knows I'm here. I don't know if I should draft. I don't know if I should just keep going. Like, I don't know, like if I like, you know, like pass her, will she come with me? Like, I didn't know, but she didn't really seem like she had a lot of energy. Like I could kind of tell from her like foot strike and like maybe the way she was breathing, like she might not have, like if I put on a surge, like maybe she wouldn't respond, but I kind of stopped there for like maybe 300 meters behind her going like, what decision should I make right now? You know? So I was like, if she doesn't, she might think I'm a guy. Like she probably feels me, but she might think I'm a guy. So like, should I just like draft? But then I feel like that's like a bitch move. So I just like, honestly was, and then my pace was slowing down too, because I could tell like I was kind of getting a little out of my rhythm that I had established for the first 20 miles because I think her pace was slowing down. And so I was right behind her. And so I just made a decision to just like keep on with the pace that I was running. And then like whatever she did, she did. And then I think she might have tried to go with me a little bit, but I'm not really sure. Like she didn't seem like she was feeling that well at that point. And so like I didn't even put in a surge. I just kept steady. And yeah, then the last like 4 miles, like my pace never really fell off that much. I think my mile 25 was 5:40, which is my slowest, but my mile 26 was 5:26, which is my fastest. And yeah, it was just interesting. Like I was saying before, like no one can really prepare you for the feeling at the end of the marathon. And it wasn't really that like the pace started to get hard. It was more like my legs just got so heavy, but I was still able to do it, which to me shows that I was pretty prepared going in. And I just kind of, I feel like I did a good job in like holding my composure. And also, you know, sometimes when you get in the front of a race, you kind of go, oh, should I be here? And then you kind of get out of your rhythm or you let it knock you out of your focus. And I think I just decided not to like go that route and was just like, just keep doing what you're doing, you know? And then getting into downtown, it was definitely like that marathon is awesome as far as like the crowds go, because that was very helpful. Just like so many people were just like cheering for you. So that was really nice. But yeah, that's pretty much how the race went. I mean, and I honestly didn't really, all the problems and all the troubles that I had been thinking about like leading up to the race, like I had like zero thoughts of them in my head. Like I was literally just focusing on like the feeling of like fluid motion and just, it was exciting. I don't know. It was like, it's weird to describe, but yeah, like I was just locked into like just the joy of like what I was doing. So it was like really cool. Yeah. It was cool.
That's a great recap. Start to finish, including the starting line. So it was like 21, you know, more or less when you got to her and, you know, got by her, if you will. Did you have a sense of how much time you had on her at all? Because obviously I know you're not looking back. You're focused on what's in front and you don't know the course. So it's not like this is something you haven't even run a marathon. So, I mean, you're literally, it's all uncharted territory, every single bit of it, including whether you should go by her. Like, I love how you explained all that because, hey, you don't, it's your first time in that exact spot. And, you know, I think you did a great job. You kind of waited a little. You felt like you were slowing up a little because of your own pacing of where you were coming up to her. So it was clear. Yeah. So it was the right move. But, you know, like, did you have a sense? Like, because obviously, you know, the crowds, they know her. She's won there multiple times. So, you know, and they were even cheering. They thought you were her at one point. So did you have a sense of how close she was to you or what kind of gap you had?
I mean, once I passed her again, like, I just wasn't sure if she's going to go with me. And like, I think she did try. I'm pretty sure she did. Cause I kind of could, I was like, I'm not going to look behind me. Like I looked back one time, I remember like around mile 24, but I could kind of sense her there. Like I could sense her for maybe a little bit, but when I couldn't sense her anymore. And then I wasn't hearing people yelling for her anymore. Once it got to like, maybe like mile 24, I was like, oh, okay. I think I've actually got this. Like, as long as I don't do something stupid or like cramp or something, I don't know. But yeah. So yeah, I could kind of tell, but there were a couple miles there where I didn't know. Because yeah, she knows the course way better than me. Like, you know, she's got that hometown advantage. So I wasn't sure, like, and I don't know. I mean, running the marathon, it's like, do people get second wins? Like, I'm sure they have. And so, you know, I was just trying to like focus on what I needed to do. And I was kind of like, if she comes back, she comes back. And that's, you know, I'm going to try to beat her. But it's like, you have no control over like what someone else is going to do. So I was just focused on myself.
Hey, well done. Well done. It obviously worked. How about mantras, mindset? Were you doing any kind of self-talk for yourself? It is your first time, you know, stepping up to marathon distance. I'm sure every runner uses something in training or hard workouts, but are you a believer in it? Do you have something you use that you change or maybe used for this race?
Yeah, I don't really think I'm a believer in like using the same mantra for every single thing, unless you really have a really deep why you're doing something. I think it kind of, for me, it varies and changes. And I think like the only, cause like, I really wasn't really thinking anything necessarily in my head. Other than when I did pass Dakota at mile 21, I did kind of go like that kind of like, you know, oh, I'm in the front now, kind of this could knock me out of my focus. And I remember like both Paige and Kellen in different ways have reminded me that, you know, like just like in training, like you'll have a workout where you'll ride different waves of discomfort and then you just keep with the pace and it'll pass. And then, you know, so they basically were just telling me like, you might have bad patches and that's normal. Just work through it and then you'll get to where you're back on, you know, like in your focus or in your rhythm or whatever. And so like, I did have that one of those moments where I felt like I went through a little bit of like a weird patch, but I think that was just kind of from a little bit of the shock of being in front. And I didn't necessarily like, I wouldn't say like, I'm like surprised because like, I'm a good athlete. Like I, just because I haven't run a marathon, like, you know, it depends. Like that's, you know, I don't think that that's an excuse to not just do your best and compete. But you know, it is, it's like, it's still uncharted territory. So I was like, oh, I am in the front. Okay. You know? And so I just kind of had to work through a little bit of that patch. And then I was back firing on all cylinders. And so that was, yeah. But I'm really funny too. Like I love music. And so usually like a lot of my good races, I don't really have like a mantra. Sometimes I'll have like a beat or something, or like just like one like part of a song. And like usually it's like rap or something like that. I don't know. Like, and so like that's like more common for me. But like in the half chance, I had Drake in my head most of that race. But yeah, like this one race, like I literally had like zero. Like, yeah.
Cool.
Very it was cool. Nice, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually, like, yeah. We usually have way too many fucking voices in our head, Lauren. That's the problem. I know. Really. Who's in there? Leave me alone. Like,
I know. Yeah. Like, where did it come from? Like, yeah. My ear. No, I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
I know. Lauren's at peace. She's winning her first marathon. This is like, write a book. This is like groundbreaking stuff. So how was it, you know, coming to the finish area? It had to be like just crazy, amazing energy for you. What was it like, you know, when you were coming home and you knew it was going to go down, you get to break the tape. What was it like for you? How did that feel?
At that point, I was so tired. Like my legs were hurting so bad. I also had a bit of like the injury that had been kind of bothering me for a few weeks actually flared up. Like it was actually really at bay the week leading up to it, but then it flared up at mile 3. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So, I also was like, not today. Yeah. Like, I am not going to drop out of this race. Like, I want to be good at the marathon. So I basically like just ran with it. And then it didn't get like debilitatingly worse or anything, but it was there the entire time. It was more just like really annoying and kind of uncomfortable. So by the end of the race, when you like, it's like you, I don't know, you kind of go through like downtown and, the last like point two was just more of like a straight shot through that, you know, like the funnel towards the finish line. And I was really just like, my calf kind of hurts. I just want to be done at this point, but it was really exciting. Like, I feel like as soon as I crossed the finish line, I was just like really happy and like, just, yeah, I was just happy. Like, I don't even know. Like, yeah, I walked for a little bit and that was really hard. And then I just wanted to get to my assistant coach, Jenna, honestly. I was just like, where is she? You know? So that was really cool. Yeah. I don't know. Got some good pictures and finally got to see her. And I don't know. That was really cool.
Nice. So that must have been a great moment, right? For you guys to connect post race with the victory and you know, some hugs and all that good stuff. And enough with the calf pain, please. Let's stop. I just want to race. Can you just leave me alone for a while? Oh, you know, bother me next week. Okay. Come on.
I know. Yeah. I mean, just can't do anything about it. It's like, again, you just can't panic. It's so easy to do. I've done it a lot. And just, yeah. So I honestly, like, I guess like I guess this is one thought I had. I was like, well, my calf hurts, but, I'm going to just try to focus on how good my right calf feels instead. And then, you know, like it's one part of my body, like it's not like I'm not really injured. It's more just like really uncomfortable. I don't know. So anyway, but it obviously wasn't like horrible because I still ran what I ran. Like if it had been like debilitating, it would have been a different story, but.
It's still good advice though, Lauren, because, you know, when, you know, you could start focusing on some other body part, it doesn't mean it's going to fix it. But it's done all the time, and it much more in the ultra community, particularly like the hundreds and the longer ones. Hundreds used to be the end of the end. Now these people are racing 250 miles and doing these crazy things. But yeah, if we can get our brain to focus on something else, sometimes that's just enough, you know. But you're right. If it's truly pulled or torn or whatever, you're not going to talk your way out of it or negotiate. Lauren mastered, you know, mind discipline, and she did the Kobayashi Maru on her calf, and you know, it's problem solved. I'm doing it next time I'm injured. But yeah, good stuff. So you finish up, get to hang with your assistant coach. I'm sure you got blasted with 9 million texts from your teammates and all. And, you know, like, at what point were you like, holy shit, I did it. I won. Or was it just more like relief? Like first one's over. Like, was it a combination of all the above?
I don't know. I don't think it really like sunk in probably until like a few days later. Cause I think I was just like, you know, I mean, yeah, I was, I was definitely like talking to my teammates, like the whole buildup going like, God, I just don't know what to expect, you know, like, I don't know, like maybe I'll suck at it. Like, you know, like I probably won't, but maybe I will. I don't know. Like, maybe, you know, I really wanted to be good at it and I wanted to like it. And so, yeah, like, and I just think, yeah, I think it was like a mixture of like really intense, like joy and also like intense relief that like I didn't suck, honestly. So, you know, I mean, in AZ, it's like we're known for producing good marathoners. I was like, I just want to run with my friends. So, yeah. So, yeah, like, and I, yeah, it was just, it was a really cool experience. Like, I mean, like I said, like, I don't have any real critiques. Like, I don't think I could have asked for anything cooler in my first marathon. So, yeah. So I don't know, maybe Sharon's New York win or something, but you know, whatever. She lives like a street down from me. So
nice. You got, like you said, your team has the creds, particularly in the marathon. I mean, and the women, though, it's the women really who are bringing it and continuing and just crushing it. So it's impressive. Impressive stuff. So what's next? I mean, you must have a mindset, you know, you're taking a break and all that, but what's like the long-term plan? I mean, you're going to run in the trials. Like, what are you going to do leading up to that? Like, what's your plan? And have you talked it through with your coach and, you know, what you're going to be looking to do going forward?
I have not talked about like specifics, except for I'm trying to run the Valencia half marathon in October. It's October 22nd, but, I think, yeah, it's pretty early. I mean, it's just like mid-July. And so it's like, I'm kind of a planner. So I'm like thinking ahead of what I want. But I think what would be best for me instead of doing another marathon, because I am going to run the trials. So, and I'm kind of trying to have the same mindset that I did going into my first marathon. Just like, I know it's the trials. I know there's a lot of pressure on this. There's a lot riding on it, but try not to just, you know, don't make it something that's not. And like, just try to take off some of that pressure as much as you can and go in and, you know, compete the best that you can. And like, I don't do very well when I feel like I have tons of anxiety on me. And so I'm just trying to like offset that the best I can. I'm not going to do a fall marathon because I just typically like, sometimes I'm fine, but sometimes I don't come off races super well. So I just think like, I don't want to be greedy. And I know like not doing a fall marathon, I might be like, I mean, I am more inexperienced than some other runners that are going to be at the trials, but I just think that's not the right idea for me. I think that I need to, so what sounds better to me is doing a really fast half. And so I've run 69:46. I know I was in at least based off workouts. And I usually race better than I work out as well. I'm confident that I can run much faster than 69. Like, I really think I can take a crack at like 67, 68. And Valencia is like a perfect, it's a fast course. So I would love to run that one. There's not really like many fast halves in the fall. Like, there's Copenhagen. It's a little too soon, I think, though, for me, because that's in September. I just think running, yeah, like kind of doing some under distance, like running like a fast half will then set me up pretty well for like that next marathon segment. Cause yeah, it's October 22nd. Hopefully I get in, I don't know. I haven't heard from them yet. So October 22nd, I might have to switch things around if I don't get in, but yeah, October 22nd. And then the trials is February 1st. So that gives me like a good solid, like 3 months of training and some leeway if like, you know, I'm a little, who knows, heaven forbid, like banged up or something. So.
Well, timing wise, it sets up perfectly.
And, I think so.
You know, since you only have one under your belt anyway, even if it was a great experience, why push it? It makes no sense. It really doesn't. Give your body time to recover, but also mentally, not even just physically, you know, your calves, the niggles, yeah. The niggles, all the things that we feel, you know, coming out of a cycle and a buildup and a win, and then just, you know, be healthy and yeah. Working on speed is always a good idea. You know,
yeah.
You know, running fast, working on speed is good. And how could Valencia be bad? I mean, you know,
hopefully I get to hang out a couple of days after and like get some paella or something, you know, but yeah. So, yeah. And then other than that, I just kind of have like, I'm just enjoying being in Flagstaff and, I live with one of my best friends and, Just enjoying the community. And then the Hoka is sending Paige Stoner and I to work across country camp in Yosemite National Park in a couple weeks. So I've just have some fun things going on that, you know, is running related, but just like not like performance based. And so, yeah, I'm just looking forward to like those opportunities and yeah, just literally just being with my community. So that's really what my plans are.
Love it, man. That's a great, great way to do some community connecting and work with other runners. It's fantastic. Yeah. And Yosemite. I mean, geez, there's,
I know, I've never been there. It's like a bucket list place. And I'm like, you're sending me there.
Okay. I'll raise my hand. I'll go.
Yeah.
Do you need somebody to ride around on the bike and give you fluids or do other stuff? Well, you said it's going to be cross country. So,
it's like cross camp. I don't know. I mean, I haven't been there, so I don't know. Like I'm assuming it'll be a mix of like, I don't know, trails and wide roads or something. I'm not sure, but, it'll be fun. I'm excited either way.
Hell, I'm excited and I'm not going. So, and I'm excited for that in Valencia. I'm not going either one. I'm like, I have a good friend, Lisa Waitman's been on my show twice from Australia. I don't know if you follow Lisa.
I know who she is. I know she's amazing. I've never met her, but yeah, her longevity has been amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she's going to make her fifth Olympics team as a marathoner. Really, really amazing.
That's so cool.
Runner and mom and full-time work and all the other stuff. But, it's super cool, you know, getting a chance to chat with fun people. But I don't even remember why I thought of her. What were we just talking about? I'm trying to remember why.
You're talking about cross country camp.
Oh, Valencia. That's what it was.
Oh, Valencia.
She might, I don't know. How it is. You can't announce stuff beforehand. No, I don't think she was thinking about the half anyway. She might've been thinking more about the full, but again, I don't think she's allowed. I don't think it's announced yet. Like who's running. And I don't think she knows yet the same way you probably don't know. So
that is so funny. I don't know. Like I got to get used to that because I kind of am more of an open book, like, you know, I feel like I'm going to mess that up at some point. Cause like, I do want to run, like, I would love to pick like a major, like after the trials. And so I haven't really thought that far in advance, but you know, there's only six. So, that'll be exciting too. But yeah, I think that's so funny how they're like, you can't announce it until,
I
don't know, until they get their contracts written or,
yeah,
I don't know what it is. And I just know I'm going to mess up.
Well, if you get in trouble, you can just blame me. So I'll take the hit for you. You could say, it was Ron on the podcast. He was trying to get it out of me. It's my fault. I'll take the hit for you.
I was actually not running a marathon like last fall.
Yeah.
Before we even picked one. So I just like, don't care.
It's all good. I agree. I think it should be a little more chill, but I get it. Each of those races wants to highlight, you know, who's in the elite men's field, the women's field, the wheelchair field, all the different categories they have. And they want to have it be their race. Cause you're talking about the majors. I've done them all like multiple times, but, so they want it when it's Chicago's week, they want it to be their week and New York's week. And I get it. You know, they're all spending a lot of money, you know, to be an Abbott sponsored race, let's say, or whatever. And not just them, Valencia and all these other great worldwide marathons or other half marathons are awesome, huge endeavors and big money makers and lots of marketing costs. So
I'm putting it out there then that I want to run Valencia since I don't have an actual spot in the race or condo. I don't know. I don't even know how that one works, but yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we can get involved in some way. Usually I know somebody somewhere, you know, who is connected to the right person.
Well,
so
I mean, my agent is on it too, and he's wonderful. Like, I think it's just really early and I'm such a planner that I'm just like, hey, am I in yet? Am I in yet? Because I want to plan.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. You want to put the green check mark and you want to put it in your calendar and have it officially be in there. Yeah.
That's, you know,
come on, man. You got to start doing all the planning. You know, you got to get the airline tickets, the hotel or the Airbnb. You got work to do, man. You got to.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
you gotta look up restaurants.
Yeah. Well, of course. That's all part of it. So I ask every guest and, you know, key race highlight or, you know, a PR or a meaningful moment from a race. It doesn't have to be your fastest race. It could be from your Baylor days from college, you know, some race somewhere, a moment within a race itself, maybe that shaped you, something really meaningful for you.
I mean, I have to say, like, without getting too personal, like, I have to say probably my first half marathon, which was 2021. It was the Half Champs, and they had it in this little town called Hardeeville in South Carolina outside of Savannah. It was like right next to Savannah, Georgia. But I just was going through like a really hard year. And I just remember like literally like not being able to put together. I mean, I don't think I finished a single long workout that whole fall just because I was so like emotionally distraught. And I remember like going to that race and kind of similar to Grandma's, like just having kind of like a morning where I woke up and I was like, you know what, like you can hurt now voluntarily, you know, and like go and like have a good race. You still put in the work. And just like coming out with like my first half was sub 70. And just like, you know, I like kind of just going like, okay, like it sounds cheesy, but it's true. Like, just be like, you can still do really hard things during really hard periods of your life. And so I think that was just like a really cool, like affirming race for me that like, you know, I mean, not everything's about running, of course, but it's just like, yeah, like that was something like that was, I had a really hard time struggling in practice, like just putting one foot in front of the other and being able to execute like I did and like also have so much fun during such a hard time in my life. It was like very affirming and, you know, just like kind of like everything's going to be okay type thing, even though it was just a race. But yeah, I would say maybe that one. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just interesting because like I've been racing for a long time. But I think that one probably like takes the cake for me, like personally. And then I don't know what my best, maybe the Grandma's was my best race ever. I'm not sure, but I don't know. I mean, I ran the 800, the 15, the 5,000. Like, I don't like the 10K. Sorry. But yeah, like, you know, yeah, I would say the half, and I don't know. My best race might have been Grandma's as far as like execution goes. I did win conference in the 800 in college, and that was a big one too. But yeah, so maybe those two. I don't know.
Girl, you got the range when you're going from 202 800 to 225 marathon. Man, that's impressive range. You won't find many people that span, you know, that far across it. That's pretty impressive.
I think it's me and Sarah Vaughn. I think
that's good company, right?
I think she's run 201 maybe. And 226 for like,
yeah,
middle distance athletes, older term marathoners.
Hey, it's impressive. Seriously impressive.
Kellen too.
Kellen's a beast for sure. Mm-hmm. So drive, energy, spirit. Where do you think yours comes from?
Well, probably just a mix of like my friend, like who I've been around, you know, like my dad's pretty free spirited. He's pretty funny. We call him Jimbo, you know. And yeah, just probably like the people that have been like placed in my life, just like, you know, just pouring into me. And I think like every person that you're around, you know, that impacts your life, it just increases your capacity to be loved and love other people. And I just think, yeah, I mean, I don't think you get anywhere without other people that are lifting you up. And I mean, that's the reason I joined NAZ is because I saw like that they were a team that really supported each other and not just the, you know, gonna kick her out, you know, like kind of like the real like support. And so that's why I wanted to be on this team. And I also love Ben Rosario when I got here too. So it was really just like, yeah, the people, I think, the drive and the spirit, and just, yeah, just people like, yeah. I mean, I know like Steph and Kellen and Alathine, like they were also excited for me going into Grandma's too, and Paige, you know, and, so yeah, I mean, probably that. And I don't know, like, I just like to run. I don't know what else to say. I just like it. Like, I was taking a break and I needed a mental break, but then I was like, I miss it. You know, but yeah.
Love it. So the mantra of this show is stay in the fight. It's also my personal mantra, not just for running, but for life, you know, for when life might get difficult or when we get hit with challenges, obstacles, let's say. Do you have a stay in the fight moment that you've had, and how did you come through the other side?
Well, you know, I mean, I would say, like, again, without getting too personal, like the really hard parts of the last couple of years have been going through a divorce. And so that's been very difficult. And it's just something like, you know, when you go through something like that, it can be life altering. I mean, it definitely changes the trajectory of your life. But it's also those, you know, what feels like tragedies to you. It's like they're usually unforeseen, unexpected, and it's not how you envision your life going. So you kind of have to have, you kind of have to pivot, and you kind of have to figure out, like, you know, like, yeah, like just a way to, like, how to get through those moments. And I honestly think, like, kind of joining the team, like, which, like, it's so interesting to me that I ended up in Flagstaff and how much I love this community. And, like, you know, and I wasn't going through that before I moved here. And, you know, and then a year in, and I was. And I just think it's amazing how I ended up here with people that I needed, that I didn't even know I would end up needing, you know. And so it's really been, honestly, like, the move to NAZ and trying to find a group, like, it just has been life changing for me in, like, the most positive way, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, and I think, like, you know, certain people I kind of, like, confided in, and when I was going through it, and, you know, just kind of having their support, like, even just being, like, with me in the same room and not talking, or, like, being at practice, knowing what I was going through, but just don't have to talk about it, you know, just, like, having that kind of support, it just is so helpful. And, yeah, like, I think that's really been just kind of, like, the keep in the fight, because, like, that was, like, the most devastating thing I've ever been through. And it was unexpected, and it was awful. And, you know, but, like, I'm in, yeah, it's hard, but, like, I'm in a much better place than I even was. And so, yeah, like, I think that's really, like, the big thing in my life. But, you know, and we've got, everyone has their thing, right? Like, everyone has something. I don't think you get through life unscathed unless you're just lying, you know, or the chosen one. But it's just, you know, like, yeah. So, yeah, we've got family stuff going on too. And I'm just trying to adopt the same kind of attitude, like, just do your best and rely on your people, and just to get through it. And, yeah.
Well said. Have you had a coach or a mentor in life who's really had an impact? It doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be a running coach. It could be somebody from your collegiate days at Baylor, or just someone who has, like, really instilled something with you that's memorable, that's had an impact for you.
Well, I mean, my college coach did a lot with me. Like, I was a walk-on at Baylor. Like, I ran, like, I mean, I had like books. I had no scholarship for running. I was, like, the worst one on the team. And I think I ran, like, yeah, I ran 220 in the 800 in high school, and, like, 5:11 for the mile, 12:25 in the 2 mile. And probably Coach Harbor was really formative for me. Coach Harbor was my coach at Baylor. He's retired now. He retired after the 2021 trials on the track. So yeah, but I think he just, like, invested a lot in me because he saw, like, that I was tough and had potential, and, you know, and I think sometimes, unfortunately, like, you know, like, having someone like that who you look up to invest in you is so monumental. And so, yeah, like, yeah, probably him. Just, like, even when I would have a bad race, he wouldn't let me off the hook. He'd be like, you're better than that, you know? And so that, and then also just, like, just little tidbits here and there. Like, I've had a lot of coaches, but, like, I really have loved Ben Rosario when he was my coach. I think I feel like I just gelled really well with him. Like, I loved Alan too. Like, I'm not, you know, nothing against Alan. Like, I've had, like, probably, again, like, Alan coached me to this marathon. Like, he's been great as well. But, like, I can just remember, like, I let Ben on the fact that I was going through a divorce when it was happening. And it was all through the 2021 Olympic track trials, and then all through the next year, and it was just blah. And, you know, I mean, he just, you know, he knows me well enough to know, like, I'm kind of weird because I don't really like, I appreciate the support in a certain way, but I'm not necessarily loving when people are, like, really in my face about things. So, like, we just work really well together. And he would just every now and then, like, I had this one practice where I just, like, I was having, like, one of the best workouts of my life. Like, this was right before the half marathon, my first half marathon. And I just, like, stopped for no reason, just out of nowhere, because I couldn't do it anymore. Like, it was just, you know, it was just, like, emotional stuff. And he just called me that night, like, let me calm down, and was just like, I know you're going through so much. We're here for you. You know, that's all it takes. Like, I'm not someone that really, like, I don't really respond very well to, like, huge pep talks. I kind of just like to, you know, kind of do my own thing, and, like, just know that, you know, it's like the person that, like, I'm that person that sometimes I just want to be in the same room with you, but I don't want you to talk to me. So it's really weird, but like, you know, I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah, just like knowing that like certain people that I hold in high regard are like in, you know, or like, are there supporting me like silently or just with little, you know, so probably him. And then Jenna Rita, our assistant coach, has also been like amazing. Like, I feel like I can go to her for anything. So, and I'm, yeah. So now she's like, kind of taking over until we find our new coach. So, yeah. So probably those three, Coach Harbor, Ben Rosario, and Jenna Reedon.
Awesome. And I know you're a coach yourself. So you're coaching with Kim and the Next Best Run group, right?
So I actually owned my own coaching business for about 6 years.
My bad. And I thought you were coaching with them.
No, I am. But just recently I have partnered with Kim to where they've kind of brought me on as like an overflow coach. So when they have like, if they're too saturated, her and Drew, they'll send some people to me just so like, and then like they'll take 15% of what I make. But I've had my own business for a while. It's just like, I just don't advertise it really. It's like perfect. The only advertising I really do is like when my athletes have good races and they tag me in Instagram and then I'll like reshare it, you know?
Yeah.
And I like the hashtag proud coach, but then that's about it. But yeah, like I was working at a run specialty store, in 2017, and it was just getting to be too much with my own training. And so I launched it in 2017, and it's just kind of steadily grown to become pretty much a second salary. And yeah, so like it is fun though with Kim and Drew, because like Kim actually lives like a few streets down from me, and like she's like my go-to for like, we'll get like probably brunch or like sushi like once a month or whatever. And so, yeah, so that's been really fun, but that's just been like really recent, but I'm honored that they like felt confident enough to bring me on. Cause you know, that's like you're starting your own business. Like you want to have people that you're like, okay, like we're going to give you this athlete. Are you, you know, trustworthy, going to do a good job. So it's been really fun.
Very, very cool. What is coaching? Obviously you've been running for a long time, you know, and you understand that self-belief that your coach had in you and Baylor, you know, he saw something in you and then helped you unlock, you know, you have to do the work. Every runner has to do the work. Every runner that you coach has to do the work. Every runner that Ben ever coached and everybody in between, we all have to do the work. But what is coaching others? How has that like informed you or maybe changed your even view about running, you know, outside of your own running, just what you've learned from some of those athletes?
Well, I mean, when you're coaching, because I coach online, it's not, you know, in person. And you have to remember, not everybody is an elite athlete or like has the same priorities. And so, you know, I have a kind of a spectrum of different athletes. So I have some people who are like really like gung ho, like everything is about that. And that's like kind of easy in a way, but you also have to like sometimes rein those athletes in so they don't go overboard. And then you have other athletes who, you know, maybe you're on the other spectrum where they just don't really do half their runs or whatever. And then they wonder why their races go poorly. So you kind of have to have a good, you know, you kind of have to work with the athlete, with their schedule and then kind of what their motivation is. And then, you know, kind of sometimes give some tough love where, you know, you're not mean or condescending, but you kind of need to like, just like kind of maybe redirect like the goal or maybe what's realistic and just kind of, you know, like, or sometimes push athletes a little bit to like, I know there's more in here, but you're going to have to like run an hour earlier in the morning or something, because most of my athletes are in the South and it is hot and it's easy. Like it's easy to want to like sleep in and, you know, and then your workouts. So sometimes it's just like a little bit, it just depends on the person. Like I'm not really very cookie cutter in my approach to everybody. Like not everyone does the same training either. Like I'm kind of more like individual focus on what that person needs and their time constraints. And I've also coached a lot of athletes that have children or are pregnant and coming back from being pregnant. And so, yeah, like I kind of just have a different approach to every athlete, but sometimes that takes a while to kind of get to know what they respond to and things like that. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of what just like came to the top of my head. Like, you know, it's just like everyone's different. And that's part of the job as a coach is to try to figure out everyone is like their own puzzle piece, I guess, and what's realistic.
Nope. You nailed it. How about community service? Something you enjoy doing as a way to give back? It doesn't have to be running related, or it can be. Just something that you've either done in the past or maybe want to get back to doing more of.
Yeah, so actually something I was doing last year was I was volunteering at the Flag. It's called, it's a Flagstaff food kitchen. And so all it is, it's on Sundays. And well, I would go on Sundays. There are different days, but I think it's every day of the week. But I mean, it's just for the homeless in the community or people that can't afford like full meals. And so you just are on different duty shifts. So like, whether it's just plating food or like bringing it out to somebody or like prepping food or something like that. It's Flagstaff Food Kitchen. So I have done a little bit of that. And then I used to do, when I lived in Memphis, I did a lot of fundraising for St. Jude for the big race we have in December in Memphis. And yeah, I don't really do anything right now that's like consistent, but yeah, we are doing also NAZ. We have we're doing a fundraiser for the Hopi cross country team. It's called Hopi Trivia Night. So basically you just buy a table and then there's trivia and prizes and whatever. And it's a lot of like, you know, NAZ Hoka gear, stuff like that. And then like other stuff. But, so that's actually coming up in a few weeks at the end of July. And then that funds the Hopi, cross country team season basically. So, and then me and, a couple of my teammates with Ben Rosario went out to practice with them last fall, and that was pretty cool to run with them. And you know, so yeah, those are really the things that I have done that I'm interested in, invested in.
Wonderful. Great ways to give back. Well, it's been super fun chatting with you, Lauren, about your race and your running journey. It's inspiring as hell. I would never let a guest go without asking him if they have one final message, you know, for the Run Chats audience to leave with, for them to think about.
I'm like, I don't even know right now. I feel like we've covered a lot of things. I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't think of anything.
It's so okay. You've given so many great nuggets about training and life, in all of it. So it's all good. And as I said, it's been wonderful chatting with you, fun getting to know you. And as we tell the guests at the end of every episode, we tell them to keep lacing them up, to keep getting out the door, and always remember to stay in the fight. Wow, this was such a fun and refreshing convo with Lauren. So many marathoners at the pro elite level or even sub-elite level succumb to that expectation or maybe even pressure that you just have to hit certain mileage totals. And at the pro level, a lot of that starts with triple digits. And just got to give kudos to Lauren for knowing about past issues with sciatica and being concerned about that, potentially, you know, throwing a major monkey wrench into her training. And it was a shorter build than most. And it was a build that was focused on her strengths. And, you know, great job of the coaches working with her, valuing her feedback and adjusting to put her in the best position to be successful. And it's kind of hard to beat running your debut and winning a marathon. So yeah, we had a good chuckle about that one, but man, good stuff. Appreciated everything Lauren brought to the table in this convo. She took us behind the scenes on the race course, race day, what it was like out there with her fellow competitors, what it was like late in the race and getting to celebrate with her coach, Jenna, at the end, but also just people who've had an impact on her running experience to this point, her running journey, and why she enjoys coaching as well as an opportunity to give back to the sport that's given her so much. So, man, it's inspiring stuff, and I hope you all are moved and really fired up by hearing everything Lauren has to say, and give her a follow. And just see what she's up to, man. Big things coming. Valencia half. I think she's going to be looking for like 67. Who knows? Maybe even faster. So she's got the wheels. And I think she's going to show up big time for the trials come February. So anyway, hope you all enjoy the listen. Keep lacing them up, my friends. Keep getting out the door. And always remember to stay in the fight like Lauren. Peace out, my friends.